Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, welcome back. It's 7:30 on a Thursday, so as always, it's time to talk to John Giles, and once again, in studio with us. How are you keeping?
Good, Nathan.
So it's been a good week in the Champions League. We'll get to all that, but I think really there's only been one story in town from an Irish football point of view, which is the controversy surrounding the FAI. So Tuesday, they saw their funding stopped by Sport Ireland. Yesterday, they go in front of the Oireachtas Committee, where they find themselves described as evasive. Was it a bad week for Irish football?
Terrible. Very bad, Nathan. It was probably the worst, one of the worst weeks we ever had. I've never known a situation like this where the soccer community was in a position that we were in.
Mm. The chair of the committee, Fergus O'Dowd, he was on Off the Ball last night, and I know you watched some of it yesterday. He was asked, after all that's gone on between the controversy of the last 3-4 weeks, the way that the FAI went into that committee meeting yesterday, if they need a completely new board, if that's the way forward from here, and if John Delaney should go as well. He said, I do absolutely believe all of them should go. I think they should go voluntarily. Let's have a transition. Let's appoint a new chief executive officer, which they're doing. Bring in Sport Ireland or people outside to appoint the best person and then go from there. What are your thoughts on Delaney and the board of the FAI and where
well,
they stand now?
I think it's something to be considered. It sounds a bit drastic initially, Nathan. I think there's a lot of thought should go into where it goes and where it goes from here. But I'd say that certainly would be an option along the way. You know, there's big decisions to be made. There's no doubt about that. I think, in my opinion, it was a bad time for Irish football, soccer football. There's no doubt about that.
What have you made of how the FAI have handled the situation over the past 3-4 weeks? Is at this stage, it's dragged on. Like, we still don't have all the answers as to that bridging loan from John Delaney for €100,000. The past 3-4 weeks, what's your take on how it's all gone?
Well, I don't know, Nathan. From what we can gather and what we do know is that John Delaney gave them €100,000 and got €100,000 back. Well, you know, that's not a crime in itself. I mean, the crime is, did it follow due, I don't know what the word is.
It wasn't included in the end of year accounts.
Yes.
Only three of the board members knew for a couple of years. So
yes.
Proper procedure.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. I mean, it's not as if John Delaney took €100,000 and put it in his back pocket. He did what he did, and we still don't know the details of that particular situation. That's where the controversy is about. It's not John Delaney robbing €100,000
no.
at all. But people do need to know what happened and why it happened and all the various situations. And that has to be rectified for the future. There's no doubt about that.
Were you surprised the FAI didn't use that opportunity then yesterday when the eyes of Ireland were on that committee to take that opportunity to fully explain the €100,000?
I don't know if they knew themselves, Nathan.
Well, there is the Grant Thornton report still.
You know, there's other things to come out. What we do know in relation to what happened and the way it was presented and the way it happened yesterday, and I'm part of the soccer community. It certainly wasn't good. It was a bad day. For us.
And you've been in Ireland over the last couple of weeks, and you say you're part of the football community, and you know a lot of people who are involved at football at various levels, from the top down to grassroots. Like, is that your sense of the attitude of the football community at the moment, that they, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word as to happened over the last couple of weeks?
They won't like it, Nathan. Mm. Nobody likes that. I mean, it was the Gaelic Association and people who were more, well, I'm not against Gaelic, I'm more for it. It's not good for the impression and whatever it might give. My mum, he mentioned that they've never been in the situation, neither of the rugby situation, but the soccer public have been in this situation. And it's not good. We could certainly do without it. There's no doubt about that.
John Delaney, obviously, there was a seismic change a couple of weeks ago where he moved from his role as CEO of the FAI, having been there for 14 years. He's now the executive vice president of the organisation, still going to be very much involved with UEFA and that side of things. Is that enough of a change?
I don't know whether this change happened before this situation arise, has arisen. I think it's not a bad move for the association, because it's a change in the association. I think John Delaney would be at the table in Europe, which is very, very important to us, Nathan. We have to have some representation in that particular area, because we have, like, for example, we've got four games coming up in the Euros that we have. There's a possibility that we'll cooperate, well, have the World Cup with England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And it's very, very important that we have representation at the table in UEFA. It's hugely important for the country and for the soccer association as well.
And do you think if John Delaney left the organisation completely, we'd lose that?
I think so.
That the influence that's been built up over the last decade.
Well, John Delaney's already there, Nathan. He's doing it. You know, without John Delaney being there at the moment, then we wouldn't have the four matches, for example, in that. So there's a huge plus for John Delaney being there in that particular situation. But apart from that, I mean, what happened in recent times, that's for the future. That's the way I see it. But certainly the soccer community suffered in the last couple of weeks with the way it was presented yesterday at these meetings.
From what Fergus O'Dowd was saying last night about the board going and maybe Delaney going voluntarily, he also used the word transition. And I think the key point he's making there is that, like, this is actually a moment where Irish football can press pause for a moment and stop and look at the board and look at best practice and look at the best way to go forward. That there could well be people on that board who still have plenty to offer to Irish football.
Exactly.
That the entire board doesn't need to go, but that there needs to be fresh voices.
There's no doubt about that, Nathan. It definitely needs to be looked at. As you said, people say to me, should the board go? I think there's a case for that. But let's have a look at it and see which of the board should go and which of the board should stay. There's a lot to be done in that, but there's important things to be done. There's no doubt about that. I don't know the details of it, but what I do know as a soccer person, that it's not good. What's happening at the moment is not good for the game, and it has to be put right.
So is the key then that the FAI get on top of this, that whatever answers need to be given,
exactly.
They need to give them quickly, so that because we could well be sitting here in a month still waiting for reports, still waiting for answers, still in a situation which is probably the most serious part of this, that Sport Ireland, in what's pretty much an unprecedented move, have stopped their funding.
Yeah, well, they have to be satisfied that everything is okay, and that's the way it should be. And obviously it hasn't been right in the last while, and leads to the particular situation that we're in now.
Were you a bit shocked by that? I think a lot of people were shocked that it came to that Sport Ireland, because, as I say, particularly one of the major sporting organisations in the country, that it got to a situation that Sport Ireland felt actually, no, we're going to stop our funding here.
Because that's what's led to such a bad week for the soccer people generally in the country. That the stopping of the grants is very, very important. Yeah. It's important to everybody, and there has to be a reason for it. And that has to be, in the future, put right, that it doesn't happen again. There's no doubt about that. And again, as a soccer man and soccer supporters, it has been a bad time, Nathan, there's no doubt. And things have to happen now to make sure that we're never in this situation again.
50 years from when you first got involved with Irish football, we're still talking about committees.
Well, it was a different time in my time, Nathan. I mean, we had...
At least they're not picking the team anymore.
Well, times have changed a lot from my time, to be honest. And I'm being serious now. Like, in my time, it was dreadful in every way. And I'm talking about, as an international team manager, the situation the people I dealt with, where it didn't come to notice at that particular time. But had it done, you might have had the same controversy at that time than we have now. Maybe more so.
Right. There's a lot of football we want to talk about as well with regards to the Champions League and the quarterfinals this week. What we might actually do is get our break out of the way, and then we can have a good stretch and chat about Manchester United and Spurs and Liverpool and all of that. 53106 is the text number. John Giles live in studio with us this evening. If you have any questions, get them in now. All right, welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is in studio. 53106 is the text number. So we've seen the four Champions League quarterfinals. Yeah. What's that?
I didn't see the four. I only saw highlights of the Juventus match.
Of the English teams then? Who's the
best? I thought Spurs were good. I thought Liverpool were very good. I thought Manchester United were average, to say the least. I thought it was an average game, actually, in relation to what Barcelona can do, or we expected them to do. They weren't great themselves tonight, but Spurs, I thought, were good against the Manchester City team that I think in recent weeks, despite what the press say, haven't played particularly well, Nathan.
Right, because the impression, and certainly as you say, a lot of the analysis is that they're cruising.
Yeah, but they didn't cruise against Brighton in the semi-final of the Cup. I think what's happened to them at the moment, Nathan, they're winning matches fairly easily, they're playing in a certain way against Fulham, and it's good enough to win matches. But I think what's happened to, I think, that, believe it or not, I believe there's a lack of creativity in the middle of the field. And De Bruyne is not playing in the middle of the field now. He's playing too far forward. And he's the only actually creative player in the middle of the field. Around the parts of the field are very good. You know, David Silva is good. Bernard Silva is good. Aguero is good. And Fernandinho does what he does in the middle of the field. But actually isn't a creative force in the middle of the field. When De Bruyne played last year, he played as a midfield player, delivering the ball to other people. He's not doing that anymore. And when he did play up to recent match, he hasn't played well at all.
Yeah, he's obviously had a lot of injuries this season.
He's had a few injuries.
Missed a huge chunk of the season.
But he's playing too far forward, in my opinion anyway, to do what needs to be done. They don't have a creative force. So what they're playing at the moment, they're playing against the poorer teams. If there's a 50-50 chance of going forward or a 50-50 chance of going back, they're going back. Right? I don't think that's good. I think it's poor, actually. I think the match against...
Who's choosing to go back?
Well, I think it's what Guardiola obviously encouraged them to do, right? Now, if you take the Brighton match, right, they scored early in the first 40 minutes, but Brighton had a couple of chances against
them.
They didn't dominate the game in a way they should be dominating it. I believe in keeping possession of the ball, but I don't believe in keeping possession of the ball for the sake of it, right? And that's why I think Liverpool have overtaken them in that they brought Firmino, is it Fabinho? Did they call him Fabinho?
Because
there's no Y at the end. But anyway, I'll call him Fabinho. Fabinho is actually playing well now. I saw him at the start of the season. I thought he was hopeless,
right,
Nathan. But he's actually now a creative force in the middle of the field that they now have, Liverpool, that they didn't have before. If you take the Brina situation, they had a creative force last year. He was the best midfield player, in my opinion, in the country, that they don't have now. So there's a big change there between Liverpool... Right, but I always criticised Liverpool for not having a creative force in the middle of the field with Milner and the other guys. They were competent players, very good, Henderson, but not creative. Firmino is actually doing that. And Manchester City, on the other hand, are not doing it. I think it's swung totally in Liverpool's favour.
Right. And do you think from Guardiola's point of view then that maybe that is as a result of De Bruyne's injury, that he's had to try and find another way? Because he didn't have a direct replacement for him. So you watch City a lot this season. Sterling and Bernardo Silva play right out on the touchline.
Yeah.
And they're trying to create space maybe then for Gundogan or David Silva. Whereas last season, as you say, probably David Silva played a bit deeper as well.
Yeah, well particularly De Bruyne. De Bruyne. Is it De Bruyne or De Bruyne?
Bruyne.
De Bruyne. Okay. I think Gundogan is Gundogan. Is his name. Yeah. I don't think he's any good.
Right.
I don't think he's going to create anything. The only creative player they have is De Bruyne. Right, and I don't think it's anything to do with his injury in the position that he's playing, Nathan. Because if you're injured, you're injured. If you're not playing, you're not capable of doing it. I don't know why, from Guardiola's point of view, he's actually playing too far forward. So people now have to find him, right, in the position he's in. People are not capable, Fernandinho and that, they're not capable of finding him. He's the only one that's capable of finding other people. And I can't understand from Guardiola's point of view why he's doing what he's doing, but he's doing it. Right, and they're in a position now where they're playing, and the way he's playing is going to make it easy for the opposition. I mean, Brighton are no great opposition. They scored after 4 minutes, but they didn't play well at all, Nathan. I think Liverpool, actually in the running now, have overtaken them.
Right, is there any sense that maybe City have been lulled into a false sense of security? Because they've had this run in the Premier League of six games that 6 weeks ago, everyone expected to win them comfortably. They've done just that without having to really push themselves.
Yeah.
Actually, when they come up against a Tottenham at their new stadium, they're almost caught by surprise by the intensity
against. There will be, Nathan, because you know football is a football of habit as well. And if you're playing at the likes of Fulham, which they did, and they scored after 2 minutes, then they go and play. That's great. I mean, Fulham are a poor team, and so are the other teams that they play. Brighton, actually, on paper, are one of those teams. But it didn't happen that way. There was a couple of things in the match there. I thought it was wrong in what they were doing. It's making it too easy for the opposition, and there's no doubt that De Bruyne is their only creative player in the middle of the field. Fernandinho is not creative in the middle. Gundogan is not playing in the middle of the field. They need him in there to be doing the stuff to supply other people. They're not doing that. And I think with the way they've played, they've been a bit complacent in many ways, because football is a game of habit. And if you're playing like against Fulham and the other teams that they play against, then it becomes a habit. Now, when they played Brighton, who are not a great team, it's a different story. Brighton were in the game. They were in that game, Nathan. They scored after 4 minutes, but Brighton were in the game. So I think they're overdoing the situation. And a lot of people are writing them up that they're playing brilliantly. I don't think they are playing brilliantly. And I think with Fabinho for Liverpool coming into the equation.
Does he give Liverpool the one thing you felt they haven't had, which is a bit of control in the middle of midfield?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, when Fabinho was playing in the middle, start of the season, he was hopeless. He had no confidence in himself. I thought he was never going to make it. But in recent times when he's come in, he's actually played as a genuine midfield player, right? So this is where I think Liverpool now have the advantage. He's come in to be a player that he hasn't been before. De Bruyne was the player for Manchester City that he's not now.
Right.
So that's a huge change in the equation of what they're doing. That's my opinion. And I think Liverpool, I did put a few bob on Liverpool. I don't usually bet at all.
After all you've said.
Yeah. But I think Liverpool, with Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum in the middle of the field, had no creative force at all. They were good players in what they did, but didn't have a creative force. With Fabinho coming in relation to where he was at the start of the season, where I thought he was hopeless, he had no confidence, but he has grown with it. And he's actually... He is a more creative force in the middle of the field than Manchester City have with De Bruyne playing where he's playing.
Yeah. Seems like a very smart player.
It's not too complicated. I hope that's not too complicated.
No, I think it's interesting in that the game that stands out for Fabinho was the game, I think, against Manchester United, where when Mourinho was still there before Christmas, where United sat very, very deep. Mm. And Fabinho was the midfielder who seemed to realise, actually, I don't need to sit in the halfway line. I can push 25 yards further forward because there's... Yeah. You know, that sort of in-game management. Yeah,
he's a creative force, right? You see, again, you go back to Milner, who does his great job. I think Henderson does a good job. Wijnaldum does a good job. None of them are creative. But if you put Fabinho in that mix and you take De Bruyne out of the mix from it. See, if you don't have De Bruyne playing in the middle of the field, Nathan, you've got Fernandinho and you've got the Gongan and these guys. Yeah. They can't create. Fernandinho is good what he does, but he's not a creative force. So they have De Bruyne playing in front of those guys. There's none of them can supply him with the ball. He's the one that should be supplying the others. And for some reason, Guardiola is playing him too far forward, and he hasn't been playing as well as he could play. And I know he's getting over an injury, right? But in the match against Spurs, he wasn't in the team.
Yeah,
Spurs were good. Spurs deserved to win the match. There's no doubt about that. Now, the unfortunate thing, they've got Kane. That's
probably out for the season.
The more you're in the games, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
But Spurs actually played well in the match. I think deserved to win the game. Now, whether Manchester City can change it, which is fascinating in its own sense, is De Bruyne going to come back into the game? Is he going to be playing where he should? But I think the press reports have been exaggerated. It's as if City are strolling to...
The title, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Spurs have obviously had a huge amount of problems away from home as well over the last couple of months, and just in general their league form collapsed. Where did that performance come from? What did Pochettino do against Manchester City that suddenly there was this huge...
I think it was more what Manchester City did than Spurs did. You know, if you go back to the match now, I think it was at Liverpool-Spurs. I thought Eriksen on the day was terrible. I thought Dele Alli was in the game was terrible up to the second half, and then they
Came into it.
And City were lucky, as we know, Liverpool were lucky at the end to get away with it because the goalkeeper made a terrible mistake. But Spurs only started to play at a certain time in the match. Now, the other night, they actually played from the start. Dele Alli was a different character. Eriksen was a different character in the match. I thought they deserved to win the match. I thought they played better. So if you get those players playing, and as you say, they've got limited selection. And like Harry Kane is injured now. this is going to happen to you, Nathan, on the run in. If you're in the gym,
and that's maybe this is where your lack of investment catches up with you.
Well, of course, it's bound to. Nobody's going to go through like that second half of the season without injuries. It's impossible, almost impossible. Well, it's not. It's almost impossible. So Kane is out now. Well, as it happened, Spurs did very well when Kane was out of the team last time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's a good thing. You're not going to have, by choice, you're not going to have him out of the team. But I thought they were very disappointed against Brighton in that particular match. I know it was a different game. And I thought Spurs deserved to beat them the other night. If you were missing that creative force in the middle of the field, then I think you're handing it to the opposition. And that's what Liverpool have at the moment that they didn't have last year in relation to Manchester City.
So Liverpool were pretty convincing against Porto. They've one foot in the semi-final, you'd imagine. They'll play either Manchester United or Barcelona. What were your thoughts on that game? On Barcelona-Manchester United last night.
I was disappointed in it, Nathan. I didn't think Barcelona were anywhere near the team that we expected them to be. And I think United didn't take advantage of it because I don't think they're good enough to take advantage of it. United were poor. I think they didn't have a shot in goals in the 90 minutes. Barcelona weren't at their best in relation to where we know Barcelona, you know, with Xavi and all these guys. But they were better than Manchester United.
Yeah.
They posed more of a threat. Again, Messi didn't have one of his best games, but he made the goal, which was brilliant stuff.
So Barcelona, obviously, you look through the team, and particularly the attack, and you see Messi and Suarez and Coutinho, and there's a certain fear factor there. Do you think the United players, actually having gone up against them now, realise that not the Barcelona of Xavi and Iniesta maybe in the second half going to the new camp?
They have to be good enough themselves to take advantage of it. It's okay saying the opposition is not so good and not so this and not so that, but what are you doing?
Mm.
You know, like Manchester United had, in my opinion, had an opportunity to take advantage of Barcelona not playing so well last night. They didn't. Didn't have a shot in goals in the 90 minutes, I don't think, Manchester United.
Yeah.
So, although Barcelona were not as good as we expected them to be over previous years, they were still better than Manchester United.
Yeah.
So, it shows you where Barcelona are, but also show you where Manchester United are. Now, they're talking about now they've got to go away from home. I don't think they'll be good enough to take advantage of Barcelona.
They have a few injuries, obviously, United as well, to take into account. But that midfield, like Pogba last night, without going over old ground again, but is that the area where they are massively lacking?
Well, I thought, what's the other lads that scores? McTominay, is it?
McTominay, yeah.
I thought he did really well for what he does. Who's the other player in midfield for
Fred.
Him? Fred is Fred. And Pogba is Pogba. You know, you don't know what to expect from Pogba. You know, we spoke about it last week, I think, Nathan, where he's saying, well, with players, if he was playing with better players, he makes them better. But great players make the average players better. Pogba, at times, doesn't make himself better. Never mind anybody else. Right? He is a talented lad, Nathan. There's no doubt about it. But having talent and using the talent is two different things altogether. So, I think in his head, he's more of a trickster than a player, right? And I always describe him as a social media star, right? Is he a star on the pitch? Most of the time, not, right? He is talented and he can do certain things and he can do this and that. But on the day, like great players have an ability to be very, very good all the time.
Yeah.
Right? All the time. Now, they won't be brilliant all the time. They can have bad games as everybody else, but they influence people around them. I mean, if you look at Pogba's, if you say we were doing on television, look, he contributed nothing last night. Now, I've never known a great player who contributed nothing. Right? Always contributed something.
Yeah.
But that's the way he is. He is what he is, and he could score a spectacular goal at any particular time.
Yeah.
But you'll say, and I think we've said it before here, on his day, when he's in the mood, right, when the time is right.
Yeah.
Right. Great players don't do that. They just do it.
Yeah, you can trust them.
Trust them. Even if they're not playing great, they're contributing. They're contributing to the team, right? So when you talk about great players, on his day, if he's in the mood, certain circumstances, he's not the real McCoy.
Yeah. Good stuff, John. Who's going to win the golf?
Well, I've got my bets on Fleetwood, Molinari. The two lads that were stars in the
Ryder Cup, yeah.
Spieth, of course.
Good man. Same as
Rory, I hope. Fingers crossed.
John, you're back to half the field at this race.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm not a gambler. I want to say I'm backing Nathan. It'll be 50p each.
That's all right.
50p
all right.
Each way.
John, great stuff. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.